thank you for that spirited singing. I enjoyed it from up here, and it's a blessing. This morning, I'd like to look a bit at the subject of our identity. Our identity. For a starter here, just to kick off, back there, Aaron, could you hand the mic to that fellow that's sitting there beside Daryl? Would you stand up and I'd introduce yourself?
Well, I'm Brian Bontrager, and most of you know my brother, and most of you know who I am as well. I am the son of Steve and Joyce Bontrager, and that lets most of the older ones know who I am. I live in Lott, Texas, and that's where we make our home.
Thank you, Brian. Now, those of you that didn't know Brian before know just a few more things about him, and those of you that weren't too embarrassed to crank around even know how he looks, so that's good. I appreciate that, Brian. You know, we're all born with an identity. There's something that just by virtue of being born gives us an identity. When a new baby is born, one of the first orders of business is for you ladies especially to try to decide who this little one looks like. Maybe it's that nose is so Bontrager, but the ears are definitely Yoder, something like that. Or his facial features are like his daddy, but his hair is from his mommy. Later on in life, they may say things like, that man there, he's built like a mast. He thinks like a miller, and he talks like a beachy. We can be insecure about our family identity. It can be our physical characteristics. It can be our looks. It can be our build, our athletic abilities. Or it can even be later on about our financial prowess, our intelligence, things like that. Many of these things we have fairly limited control over. We probably all looked around at someone else and looked with some admiration, let's not call it jealousy or covetousness, but anyway, some admiration. That person is so beautiful or so handsome, so put together, so, man, it's just, they just got it right. If I would have just been fortunate enough to have been born in their situation and have that be my experience instead of where I am. We tend to stress about the things we can't change. We can consume a lot of energy lamenting our unjust lot in life. And that leaves little strength for us to move on to where God has planted us, where God has put us, where His grace is perfectly sufficient for us. Our heritage, our culture, make up a major part of our identity. Many people lose their way as they react to their past. It can be reacting to our history, our particular life story as a people. I was visiting with Leroy the other day in his shop about some of these things. I don't see him here this morning. Our heritage, our culture in and of itself, I'm not addressing whether it's good or bad. That's not the purpose of my devotional thoughts here this morning. But as people react to their past, they often make decisions based not on a search for truth, but on a search to be freed from their past. I recall the testimony of someone who was involved in a fairly serious church split. And she said something like this. Well, they discovered some disunity in their group after they had moved away from the church. We discovered that we were united in what we were against, but not united in what we were for. Our history provides some identity for us. Looking back, like the rabbit that's being followed by the dog, helps us or hinders us from keeping sight of the goal before us. Coming to peace with our past frees us to engage in positive ways with our future. We see people who are ill at ease. When we're around people who are ill at ease, we tend to be ill at ease with them. Others seem comfortable and at peace. And when we're around those kinds of people, that's how we tend to feel as well. In a real sense, I think a person who has come to peace with his past is a person who has come in many ways to grips with his identity. Brian Bontrager, He didn't get to choose Stephen Joyce for his parents, but that's something that he would do well to come to grips with, and as far as I know, he has. We all have an identity that our family and history have given to us. Secondly, we often want to try to create our own identity. As humans, we want to be cool, we want to be smart, we want to be well-controlled, we want to be put together. The things that we do, we want to do them well. I'll admit, I want to be a good farmer, a good builder, a good roofer, a good auctioneer, a good teacher. Those ambitions don't have to be bad in and of themselves. Ecclesiastes 9:10, the first part, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with thy might. But we can fall into temptation as we try to create our own identity. As we focus on ourselves, we can stop short of those godly goals that he has for us. Earthly goals and kingdom goals are not always synonymous. As human beings, we tend to rely on the perceptions of others, but the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and we can't, that's not a safe perception as we look and try to focus on the perceptions of others. For some people, maybe not making their goals isn't that bad a deal if other people around them see them as having made their goals. If people perceive us how we want to be perceived, we can stop there and assume that we have somehow reached our goal. If we can be seen as generous when we're greedy, kind when we're mad, smiling when we're really down and out, good when we're bad, then we can feel good if our identity is based only on the perceptions of others. But there's something pretty empty and pretty wrong about that. There's something empty about wearing a mask that hides who we really are inside. Our consciences don't do too well with that. I remember something that happened on one of the benches right here in this auditorium probably 40 years ago. I think I was seen by a lot of people as a fairly compliant, a fairly obedient sort of a fellow, and I think. But I didn't always live up to my expectations. There was another fellow about my age, and he's no longer here, Ray Yoder. He didn't enjoy some of those same perceptions of people. There was a time when we were sitting here in church, and I was doing something that was being a distraction. And I could be pretty straight-laced and look pretty good from the back, but I don't think Ray was able to handle it as well. Imagine my chagrin when after the service, Mary, Laverne's mother, sought me out to commend me on my good behavior in church that day. I don't remember how it all played out. I think I've made it right with her. It hasn't bothered me for years. But there's something empty about relying on perception that's not based on truth. We tend to assume the values of the people we emulate. Mass media has the ability to shape us like never before. But the things we consume become a part of us, just as a high-fat diet tends to translate into a high-fat person. As parents, we have a sacred responsibility to guard the door to our homes and to the hearts of our children. When our children were young, my wife would read missionary stories to them. There's something that seems right and wholesome about that kind of input. And I think our children's lives and identity were and still are influenced by those godly examples. We are influenced by what we feed on, and our identity is shaped by the heroes that we hold up. People struggle to create their own identity. Ironically, the identity they're trying to create often is not their own identity, but it's the identity of something that fashion or pop icons have held up as wonderful. The tendency is to try to assume the identity of someone that they think is cool, or actually that is perceived by everybody as being cool. Maybe they're not, but if everybody thinks they are, then they are, okay? You know, in the effort to define themselves, people mindlessly follow the pop icons, the trends of the age. And it's kind of interesting if you can step back far enough. Some of the trends and fashions of today would have been laughable not so very long ago. And some of the things that, well, I don't know. It's my generation. I realize I'm kind of a dated man by now. It's hard for us maybe to relate to the skinny jeans and the slouch pants and those kinds of things. But we're dealing with a moving target, something that's changing all the time. And the identity that we're trying to create for ourselves is often not our own identity, but it's trying to create an identity that's identified with something else. You know, as we try to create our own identity, there's a sense that we're trying to create an approval rating for ourselves. And there's something really fickle about that. Some of the highest approval ratings in the world are given to some of the worst role models possible. Moving on, point three. Our true identity needs to be found in Jesus Christ. I have referred several times publicly recently to Philippians 3. My mind was drawn back to that again today. I don't think I'll read the passage. But Paul had so many things that created his identity in that Hebrew, in that Jewish system. And now as he's looking back at that, he thinks, my, what a waste. How terrible that was. My singular focus is on Jesus Christ. I've got a new goal. Those things that were gained to me, I count them loss. That he could just be found in Christ. That his hope could be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Like Paul, our identity needs to be found in Christ. When we focus on Christ, it does several things for us. We are freed from the distraction of reaction toward our past or toward those people who are grasping their past in unhealthy ways as we focus on Christ. In my comparing myself to Christ, I can realize my undoneness in a new way. I realize how much I need to grow. As I focus on Christ, I don't have time to be always looking around to compare myself with others, like the cattle at the hay feeder, the cow, the bossy one that's always pushing everyone away and doesn't have time to eat. Our well-being doesn't have to depend on the approval of an ever-changing set of criteria. There's a real freedom in a single-minded focus. There's married couples who've lived in harmony for many, many years. I think it's well established that some of them even begin to look like each other after they've lived in harmony for many years. I think our relationship with Christ should be similar. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changing to the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we spend time in Christ's presence, we start assuming his characteristics. People can see that we've been with Jesus. You fathers have probably all had the experience, or many of you have, of walking with your child in the snow. And it's interesting to look back to see that child stretching to try to match your footprints in the snow. Christ left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Many fathers are kind of pleased, maybe proud in the right way, to see their children following and emulating the values that they have. The Apostle John, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. In the Christian context, it's humbling and a real cause for gratitude to see your children finding their identity in Christ. As followers of Christ, we will, I don't think, ever find our identity perfected in him. I like what the psalmist says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." As people try to fit in with the world's identity, they are basically seeking the approval of status quo. And that average or that status quo is a fairly low bar. There is an approval rating that I'm reaching for someday. It's the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." That approval rating, that identity, is all that we will ever need. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's kneel. Dear God, we thank you for the identity that we can have in Jesus Christ. We just confess that we are needy creatures, that we are undone in and of ourselves. We need your strength. We need your fullness. Pray that we could spend time in your presence, that with an open face, we could look into a mirror, and we could be changed from glory to glory, more into your image. I just pray that you'll be with us this Sunday school hour, that you'll be with the Sunday school teachers, be with each one of us, that we could seriously seek your face and find the identity that is found in living with you, in you. Go with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.